is taken from Philippians chapter 3, the first six verses. So Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 1, you've changed it, have you? Oh. So chapter 1, how many verses? 1 to 6, right. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Thank you. I do apologise for the mistext on the reading, but you got it perfectly correct. I bet you're glad it wasn't one of those really long lists of hard to pronounce Old Testament names. That would have been terrible. A couple of comments before I start. You're probably thinking, how come this bloke gets to stand up in front of the church with a delicious cup of coffee made by Mitch Forbes out there slaving away as he is, like all good pastors? This morning, there's coffee available, and the proceeds of this go to our global mission. It's Soltura Coffee, all ethical coffee. Go and grab yourselves a cup. It's a gold coin or $50 donation, whichever comes out of your wallet quickest. So for the planners, plan that well. So wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. TCBC is a core supporting church of the work of Global Interaction over many years. Deep commitment to global mission. It's humbling to be here. It's humbling to get to spend time hearing Margaret's story again. And it's exciting and humbling to see what God is doing through Paul and Naomi Dennis. I met with them on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. And I wasn't overly confident that Gnomes would be here today, but there you go. It's done really well. At 9:36 each morning, and you may be well aware of this, there's quite a number of us now around the traps of Global Interaction who have our telephones, our mobile phones set to alarm at 9:36 in the morning, because that correlates to Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, where Jesus speaks of the harvest being plentiful, but the workers a few. Luke 10, verse 2 also does the same. So there are those who have their alarm set for 2 minutes past 10. Either way, the point being, it reminds us every day to pray. Jesus rarely gives explicit instruction in the Gospels as to what it is we are to pray. He certainly prays, and regularly the disciples wander about looking for him, and they find him and he's praying, but very rarely does he specifically instruct us in terms of how we should pray. One of the times in the Gospels is when he says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out more workers into his harvest field. So there are many of us who have now taken that task on. And it is our firm conviction that Paul and Naomi's call is part of God stirring up his people within Baptist churches to pray again. And Nathan and I were just chatting about this week, that we're now going to tweak that prayer, because as Paul and Naomi shared, they're going out into Central Asia, and they're the first family to have gone on behalf of Global Interaction and our wider Baptist churches. And our prayer now is that that would break the seal, and that God would call more families into that amazing work, that incredible opportunity that is being provided for us in Central Asia amongst a least reached people group, of whom there's anywhere between 10 and 13 million in this particular people group, and possibly 200 to 300 believers. They are a least reached people group. So if that stirred your heart, I want to encourage you to set your mobile phone to interrupt you daily to pray, because gosh, we allow ourselves to be interrupted by many trivial things, and so it's good to be interrupted by important things as well. All right, that is not the sermon. That's the bit before the sermon. So we're looking at Philippians, and I think there are two basic kinds of people in the world. There are those who start with the end in mind, and then there are those who start with the beginning in mind, and both of them are appropriate. My son is the kind of guy that works from, if he thinks about building something, he asks himself, what do I need to get in order to build? What do I need to go to Bunnings and get in terms of timber and screws and fasteners and so on and so forth? I'm not like that at all. I start with the big picture. What kind of mansion am I going to build? And then I picture it entirely, and then I try and work out how to do it. And so in Bible teaching, this can operate in these ways as well. And today, bear with me, because I'm actually going to start with the end in mind. We read from Philippians 1, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to start with verse 6 and work my way backwards. I'm going to start with the end in mind. I'll read to you again the context so we have it. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we're going to start with the end in mind, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What a beautiful promise. The scriptures are filled with beautiful promises of God's faithfulness, that God finishes what he starts, that God has a vision that has every detail covered, that God knew as he formed Paul and Naomi in the womb, and even this child that is now still forming, and it's pretty much formed really, in the womb. God knows the plans he's got, and he'll carry it on to completion. And so Paul and Naomi going to Central Asia is part of God's big plan. He's carrying it on to completion, a vision that he had from ages past. He finishes what he starts. But it would be easy for us, I think, in our churches to sit and think to ourselves, oh, isn't that wonderful that God is completing that vision that he has in Paul and Naomi. But that would be a misreading of the scripture, because the vision that God has for us all, and the plural here in the Greek is us all, it's not you singular, it's yous, to use the bogan Australian term, yous all of yous. Right? In fact, let's read it with the bogan Australian version being, I'm confident of this, that God who began a good work in all of yous will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, what is that good work? Let me give you a tip of what it isn't. It isn't that you would live a peaceful life and have your things and die an easy death. That is not on God's agenda. It might happen, but God's agenda is this. This is the vision. The work that he's begun in you and will complete in his good time is the redemption of this planet. That God is on a rescue mission that begins right at the start of Genesis, when people decide in their own human folly that they will do what they want, not what the King of Kings wants. God makes his mind up. I will redeem them. And he's going to carry it on to completion. You see, God's principal mission in the scripture is, his principal vision in the scripture is mission. That's what he calls all of us to do. Some, certainly, he calls over to work amongst the H people in Central Asia, or the IB people in Southeast Asia, or the K people in the Silk Road, and other places around the world. But God has called each one of us, yous all, into mission. So get about it, people. Whether it's next door or overseas, get about it. Because God is going to carry on to completion that work that he started in you. And I dare to believe, because God is not a racist. He does not care about Australians or people in Thornley any more than he cares about anybody else in the world. I believe that God has particularly equipped us in the Western Church with finance and resources and capacity that we might reach the whole world. Gosh, we need men and women like Naomi and Paul to put their hands up and say, I'll be part of the big solution. I'll be people who will go. I will carry on to completion the good work that the Lord has started in me. So this good work is for all of us. This good work is the redemption of the planet. It's personal and it's global, and it is reliant on the faithfulness of God. Working backwards now into verses 4 and 5, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This partnership in the gospel, the Greek word here is a word that is koinonia. And it's translated differently in different versions of the Bible. If you've got an authorized or King James version or an NKJV or older types of translations of the scripture, you'll read that word as fellowship. And that's true and right. In the NIV and more modern versions, it's translated as partnership. In other translations of the scripture, it's translated as synergy or togetherness. It's a robust word, this word koinonia. And what it means is that we are together in one mind. Paul says, I always pray with joy when he thinks about his friends at Philippi or when he thinks about his friends projecting forward at Thornley Community Baptist Church. I pray with joy. Now, what gives Paul the joy to pray? It's the partnership, the fellowship, the synergy, the togetherness in the gospel. You see, this church in Philippi that Paul wrote to was a church under substantial persecution. Philippi was a city that was extremely into what's called the cult of the emperor. They believed that Caesar was Lord. And you know what the Christians said in Philippi? Jesus is Lord. And you know what that's called? Sedition. And you know what sedition was punishable by? Death. They're a church under persecution. Paul himself writes from a prison in Rome. Later on in chapter 1, he tells us that he's in chains for the gospel. He says, I always pray with joy because even in the midst of your persecution, you're not quitting because you're partners in the gospel. Partners in the gospel. So who's going to be a partner in the gospel? And you might think to yourself, goodness, does that mean I'm going to hang around with all these people all the time? I don't really like them. We all know it's true, but that's not what this implies. Paul doesn't say, I always pray with joy because you love each other heaps and heaps and hang out of each other's back pockets. This word koinonia means fellowship or partnership in the sense that we're all committed to the one goal. Now, if you've read The Lord of the Rings or seen the films, for those of you who can't be bothered reading for the next 13 years of your life, the first book is called what? The Fellowship of the Ring. And the fellowship is made up of 9 individuals who pretty much all hate each other. They fight, they're jealous, they've got different agendas. It's hard for them to get along. So what is it that combines their individual impulses to a mission? It is the destruction of this one ring, which is Tolkien's great symbol of evil in the book, The Fellowship of the Ring. And so this idea of fellowship doesn't mean that we always even agree with the decisions we make, but rather it's about being committed to the long-term task of a mission that goes beyond ourselves, that affects a broader community of people. And the task that the Lord has called us to is the redemption of the planet in the name of Christ Jesus. We are called as different people with different tastes and different identities and individuals. We're called together to partner with one another even when it's difficult. And Paul says, when I look at you, Philippian church, I always pray with joy, because the thing I see, even though you're under persecution, you're not quitting, you're not cracking, you're not giving up on each other. Partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Look, at the base level, partnership in the gospel would be financially supporting people like Paul and Naomi. But let me tell you, that is entry level, folks. Don't let that be your sense of fellowship or partnership in the gospel. Become engaged in a much deeper way, prayerfully, emotionally, relationally, physically. Go. Commit yourself. You know, when I wake up each day at 9:36, when that my alarm clock goes off on my phone, it reminds me again. Even though I might be in a meeting that I think and others think in the meeting, this meeting is really, really important, but that alarm clock goes off and it reminds me what's really important. That God has fundamentally, first and foremost, called me to partner with Him in the redemption of the planet. As we move backwards into verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Our commitment to mission is displayed in deep thankfulness for one another's commitment to the task. And let me tell you, put your hand up if you've been on beach mission in this church. Yep, or a short-term team. Keep your hands up. Short-term teams or mission of any variety. Isn't it an astonishing thing when you see those around you, people walking in faithfulness, people having a red-hot go at sharing the life-giving story of Jesus, as terrifying and as difficult as it is at times. When you see people walking in their faith in genuine ways, let me tell you, as a parent, when I see my children walking in faith, I'm filled with thankfulness. Let thankfulness be part of your very fabric. Thankfulness to the partnership of others and thankfulness to God. And finally, going right back to verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Let's think about Paul and Timothy for a moment. Who were they? Paul, we know as the apostle to the Gentiles, and Timothy was a young disciple of Paul's. But how is it that Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles? This is not rhetorical. I'm going to wait until someone answers it. Well, yes, so there's the Damascus Road incident. Paul had been a Pharisee, persecuting the church, has this amazing experience of Jesus. Yep. But particularly his apostleship to the Gentiles. Did he just wake up one morning and go, you know what, I'm going to be the apostle to the Gentiles? And he got, you know, went out to a printer and got some business cards printed. Pardon? He did, but something happened between those two things. Yes, he did, but who worked it out? Keep going, people. It's all in Acts, I'm telling you, I'm not making it up. The church came together and said, we need to realize that God's vision is beyond the Jews. And so they set aside two, Paul and Barnabas. They set them aside as apostles to the Gentiles. And what did they then do to them? This is in Jerusalem, right? They sent them. They said, get out of here. You're apostles to the Gentiles. And have a look around. We're all Jews. What are you doing here? Now, there might have been a political motivation for that, but we don't want to think about that too hard. They sent them out. This is a deep moment for us to recognize that you are, I am, and Paul and Naomi are sent people. We've been sent by God as agents of reconciliation, to shine our light, to let the whole world see that we're singing for the glory of the risen King. That'd be a pretty good song, don't you reckon? I'm going to write those words down. Now, we're here to celebrate the sentness of Paul and Naomi. But the truth of the matter is that all of us have been sent. We're all sent. So live out your sentness. You are sent from a community. This is it. So when you leave this space, when you go into your workplace or your school, when you go into your clubs or your social groups or whatever it is, wherever you go to, you are a sent person. Paul and Naomi very specifically have been sent to Central Asia. Now, if you're a member of the bowls club, you're a sent person into that bowls club. And that's not all that expensive. You can pay your membership yourself. Go right ahead. Paul and Naomi have been sent to Central Asia. And that's really expensive. So here's the kicker. We're part of their sentness. We're all sent, and yet some of us are sent to far more expensive places. Paul and Naomi have been sent. And the resources have been given to us to send them. And the responsibility has been given to us to resource and equip and send them. So in the foyer after the service, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to give to this work, knowing that you are sowing into eternity with grateful and thankful hearts because you are partners in the gospel. Our desire is to see Paul and Naomi this year, before Christmas, have raised $30,000 of their budget. And I don't want to be competitive, but one little church with 70 members just committed 10 grand. Figure it out, Thornley Baptist Church. Buy yourself a $50 coffee. No, the point being, God has resourced that church to do it, and they're doing it. And I give thanks for that. But what can we do? So there's an opportunity to give a gift this morning. As you hang around after the service and eat and talk and spend time with Paul and Gnomes and grab a coffee and chat. And if you want to see me and Nath or Carol, please go right ahead. We're sent people. Paul and Naomi have been sent. Not only are they sent as workers for Global Interaction, they are sent from Thornley Community Baptist Church, and they are sent from the Baptist churches of New South Wales ACT and further the Baptist churches of Australia. It is up to us. If we believe that they are sent, and I 110% believe they are sent, to finance that sending. So there's the challenge. Let me pray. Our great and gracious God, thank you for the way that you call us and that you complete what you start, God. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you give us all the necessary capacity to do all the ministry and mission that you've called us to. And my prayer, therefore, this morning is that we would be obedient to that end, in and through the power of Jesus. Amen.